And now, the CEO of the National Biodiesel Board, Joe Jobe.
Good morning. Said good morning. There you are. Hey, we got a pretty good crowd out there. You know, you throw a party, you never know if anybody's going to show up. Welcome to the 8th Annual National Biodiesel Conference. Hope everybody's doing well out there. I don't know if you've noticed, Jim Evanoff and I are trying to do our part to bring back the vest. We've decided we're going to work on bringing back spats after that. So, I'd like to begin by saying, how about that game last night, huh? Okay, if you're a Packers fan, let's hear it. If you're a Steelers fan, let's boo the Packers fans right now.
Boo.
No boos? Come on. There you go. All right, this new technique I'm trying out, it's called turning the audience against each other at the outset, seeing how that works out. You know, I was thinking on the walk over here, we ought to have a pickup game between the Packers and the Steelers fans. You know, it's extraordinarily nice outside. Most of us have come from the frozen tundra. Back home, we got 18 inches of snow this week. Just ridiculous. Listen, we want to thank all of you for being here. We have a good turnout. We have a great group of folks. And let me just say that we understand that there is a considerable investment in your time and resources that it takes to be here. And we're going to do everything that we can to see that your experience here and your time this week is spent well and is very valuable. We have biodiesel experts from all over the country, all over the world, here to present information and in the audience, and we have something for everyone. In short, we are cautiously optimistic that this conference is going to rock. Most of all, we're excited about this conference as a venue to do some business this week. Yes, it's time to get back to business for a change. So here's hoping that a lot of you do a lot of business this week. It's been my privilege to serve as the CEO of the National Biodiesel Board for 12 years now. And in that 12 years, I've seen tremendous change in this industry. But the most dramatic change has occurred in the last 36 months. From the irrational exuberance that we saw in 2008 with almost 4,000 people at our conference in Orlando, to the industry contraction that we saw in 2009 with the meltdown of the economy, to the uncertainty and instability that we had and we were facing a year ago in Dallas. And thinking about how I might illustrate the vision of what we've just come through as an industry and where we're going, I thought I might find an interesting historical reference. So the first thing I thought of was the fact that this year marks the 130th year anniversary of the showdown at the OK Corral. It took place just down the road here in Tombstone, Arizona, where the Earp brothers and Doc Holliday took on the Clanton gang. Those were some pretty tough hombres that showed courage under fire, didn't back down in a tough situation. I'm sure that could have provided a lot of colorful analogies about what we've just come through and endured over the last year. Decided not to go that direction. Actually, I'd like to share with you a personal story. It's mostly just a good story, but it does have a point. My daughter Delaney, who's in eighth grade, started taking freshman algebra this fall. She was bringing home a lot of homework, and you know she was struggling with it a little bit. It's been a long time for me since I took freshman algebra, but I was determined that I was going to help her through it. And to my surprise, I was able to do that every time. Sometimes even over the phone if I was traveling. So everything was going fine. One night I went out bowling with some buddies, and after a very fun night of bowling and merriment, got home about 11 p.m., and Delaney meets me at the door. She says, "Dad, thank goodness you're home. I've got 40 algebra problems. They're due tomorrow. I've been struggling with them all night. I can't get any of them. I none of it makes sense. I don't know. You've got to help me." And I could tell she was very upset, but I could also tell she was relieved. Dad's home. He's going to help me through it now. And I was just thinking, oh my goodness, I am in big trouble. So we sit down at the kitchen table, and we look at the book, and we look at her notes, and we look at the problems, and it just wasn't happening. So after about a half hour of bewilderment and frustration, I finally had to tell her, honey, I just can't figure out what these problems are asking for. And bless her heart, she immediately and graciously said, it's okay, Dad, don't worry about it, I understand. I'll just go in the morning, try to talk to the teacher. And so she was packing up her stuff, and she tried to hide it, but I could see this big tear rolling down her face. So I was crushed. I knew that I had let her down. So she went on to bed, and I sat down and stewed about it a little bit. And I sat there, and I thought, we're not going to do this. I am going to figure this out. I don't care what it takes. I'm going to figure this out. So I get back all her books and her notes, scraps of paper, and I sit down and I fight with it and I fight with it, and finally it snaps into place. So I go get her out of bed at midnight. I say, Delaney, I figured it out. Get out of bed. We're going to go get this done. And we did. And so we went to bed that morning very tired, but very, very gratified, very proud of ourselves that we were able to pull that off. Now, I tell that story to say that this year was kind of like algebra after bowling. It was confusing and frustrating, disappointing. It took 10 times longer than it should have. But this year was something else, too. It was a testament to this industry's determination not to give up, no matter how hard it gets. You know, it's probably the main reason I'm so proud to work for this industry. We don't give up. We never have. We never will. So I want to take a second and say thank you to this industry for fighting through this last year, staying with it, staying together, and not backing down. Thank you. Now, because we got through these last 2 years, we got them behind us, we are now positioned to have the largest year ever. We finally have all the elements in place for a more stable and predictable year. All of the delays and uncertainties that plagued the start of the RFS2, they've all been eliminated. And the path is set for what will effectively be the first full year of the program. Because of the research support of the soybean checkoff, biodiesel from the vast majority of domestic feedstocks has conclusively been deemed an advanced biofuel. And currently, biodiesel is the only domestically produced advanced biofuel that's reached nationwide commercialization, produced in virtually every state and throughout Canada. With the EPA's announcement that it will enforce the 800 million gallon requirement in the biomass-based diesel category, with the courts upholding the legal challenge and the reinstatement of the tax credit, the stage is set for the RFS2 to go forward in 2011 in full force. Now, with both the tax credit and the RFS2 firmly in place, we have a tremendous opportunity for renewal as an industry. It gives us an opportunity to have a vigorous and successful first-year implementation of the RFS2. Now, clearly, the RFS will be a critical policy driver for our industry going forward. We're committed to its success. We've taken dramatic measures over the last 18 months to help prepare the industry for this program by conducting webinars, seminars, face-to-face meetings, often in conjunction with the EPA and our partners in the petroleum industry. Now, we also want to say thank you to the EPA for all of their hard work with the RFS. It's been a long, hard road, but we know they had a tough job as well. The industry is prepared to successfully implement this program with more than 111 plants registered with the EPA's EMTS system, representing more than 2.2 billion gallons of production capacity. We're committed to working with our partners in the petroleum industry, most of whom will be our customers. Later this morning, we're going to hear from some of those leaders in the petroleum industry, hear their perspectives about the industry, the markets, the RFS, and the future. right after my opening speech. One of the things that I'm sure is on everyone's mind is the question of what happens next with the tax credit. Tomorrow's general session is dedicated exclusively to government affairs, so we'll address it more in detail tomorrow. We'll talk more about the political environment that we're facing with this 112th Congress, certainly some of the challenges that are in store for us with this Congress's focus on debt reduction. But let me just say that the biodiesel tax credit has been one of the most effective pieces of energy policy and economic policy in U.S. history, stimulating investment in renewable refinery capacity, jobs, economic activity, that has generated a substantial net benefit to the U.S. Treasury. It's fueled innovation in technology, research, and plant science. It is good public policy. And it's done all of this, it's produced all of these benefits in just 5 years. We have to continue to remind people that the biodiesel tax credit and the RFS2 are complementary programs. They were contemplated to operate in tandem, providing both the economic benefit to stimulate the markets and the stability and predictability needed to launch an emerging industry operating in this inherently unstable energy market. And 2011 will mark the first year that these two policies have been allowed to operate together. Now, this industry still believes in that vision and promise of that policy framework. And we're going to put every resource that we have available and at our disposal in place to get this tax credit extended this year. And we're going to talk more tomorrow about what those resources and strategies are, but understand this, the most important resource that this industry has is you. It's all of us collectively staying unified, continuing to pull together like we've demonstrated that we can do, even through the toughest of times. Folks, 2011 is going to be our strongest year ever, and if we can stay unified and get it done in 2010, which was our worst year ever, we can be even much stronger in 2011, which is going to be our best year so far. Now, we would be foolish to expect that it's going to be smooth sailing. We will have our challenges. Tomorrow morning, our chairman, Gary Hare, will further detail some of those challenges that we'll have to address, like fuel quality, RIN integrity, affordable feedstock supplies, and some of NBB's feedstock development efforts. In fact, much of the hard work and homework that needs to be done on behalf of the industry is all about preparing for success. We have worked for over 5 years to finally get in the place where we are now with this policy framework. It's a powerful policy framework and one that will put this industry back on a sound footing. But one of the things that sometimes happens to organizations, even entire industries, is that they can become victims of their own success. It's not enough to simply achieve success. You have to anticipate it and manage it once you're there. So for us, this year is going to be a lot about preparing for the industry's coming success. What do I mean by that? It is very predictable that as the economy continues to slowly recover over the course of the year, energy prices are likely to rise with it. With energy price inflation comes food price inflation and rising feedstock prices. We should expect new waves of misinformation, campaigns attacking biofuels on food versus fuel, global hunger, indirect land use change. We're already seeing this unfold with the jittery energy markets reacting to the unrest in the Middle East, with the food price index going up, setting an all-time record in January. We've been forced to play defense on these issues for the past 2 years, as we've developed data which shows conclusively that biodiesel, in fact, has net positive benefits to the food supply, the energy supply, and carbon reduction efforts. This is a story that needs to be told, and we are now in a position to tell it. It's finally time for us to play some offense for a change and tell our very positive story rather than just playing defense. Over the last 4 months, we've been developing a bold new communications campaign called the Advanced Biofuel Initiative. For the first time ever, we will be executing a major, comprehensive, paid communication campaign that is designed to solidify biodiesel's role as an advanced biofuel. I'm excited about this program. It is one of the most exciting opportunities we have had in years. It's going to be critical to our educational efforts. We have to get the truth out about biodiesel in order to reshape and redefine our image. This project's already underway. If you've ever been involved in the creative development process, you know that when it comes to image campaigns, there's no shortage of ideas or opinions you have to wrestle with. So I thought you might find it amusing to see some of the early concepts that we threw around in this process. The first one, adding umlauts to the word biodiesel. Umlauts are cool, they're underrated, they add attitude. You know, they're also called rock dots. So we added the tagline, biodiesel, the motorhead of fuels. I still think I'm going to get a t-shirt made of that. God save the queen. Unfortunately, that doesn't do much to underscore biodiesel's role as an advanced biofuel. Another brilliant idea was to just change the word biodiesel to a symbol and make everyone refer to it as the fuel formerly known as biodiesel. That's been done, so we scrapped that. The fact is, biodiesel doesn't have to change at all. We just have to tell people what it is, an advanced biofuel, and currently the only one commercially produced nationwide in America. It is America's advanced biofuel. It's imperative that we get out in front and we define ourselves rather than allowing others to define us. Once again, the soybean checkoff and the soybean farmers have stepped up in a very powerful way to support this industry in this very critical time. Over the past 4 months, we've developed a comprehensive project. We've raised over $3 million new dollars in checkoff funding commitments for this year. We're also reaching out to other feedstock groups and commercial interests to leverage their resources for this important project. This campaign will include high-quality television commercials, print, radio, internet. We'll have direct outreach to environmental groups, livestock groups, thought leaders, editorial boards. This is an extremely exciting program. It will further position biodiesel to compete in the new advanced biofuel market created by the RFS2, and it will position us positively in a way that supports all of our industry objectives. We need to especially thank Iowa and Nebraska soybean boards for their special role in helping to initiate and coordinate this program. We also need to thank the United Soybean Board and the state soybean boards of Minnesota, South Dakota, Kansas, Illinois, Tennessee, Kentucky, as well as the Northern Canola Growers Association and other commercial interests for stepping up as early supporters of this new program. Thank you guys very much. Now I want to conclude by telling the end of the algebra story. The next night when I got home from work, I went straight to Delaney's room. I asked her how she did on her homework, whether she got all of her assignments right. She said, "Dad, you're not going to believe this, but the teacher started out by apologizing to the class because she had given the wrong homework assignment for the lesson she taught in class." Delaney went on to say that she was the only one to get all of her assignment done. And I'm proud to report that Delaney is getting an A in algebra. Yeah, we can clap for her. Likewise, we as an industry need to be the ones who get all of our homework done. We have to do it regardless of what others do and regardless of the circumstances. We have to do the hard things to ensure this industry is a success, no matter what. And we have to be prepared for that success. We have an extraordinary opportunity before us, and we have to deliver, and we will. Thank you all very much for being here. Have a great conference.